Many, many months ago, when the Iraqi war was underway, we started talking about Stargates. Mm-hmm. And as compelling as it was, we chatted about Saddam Hussein. And Saddam Hussein apparently was seen running around the Iraqi countryside with some kind of a necklace with some huge stone in the middle. And there was talk about a Stargate being hidden away in Iraq somewhere, which would have allowed him to escape into God knows where. And still to this day, William, they can't find him. Now, they're saying things like they think he's holed up in Tikrit, his hometown, masterminding some of these events that are occurring there now. But they still haven't found him. Let's talk a little bit about what you think was around his neck and also this possibility of a Stargate being in Iraq, which, of course, as you know, was where the Sumerians started off a long time ago. But what was he wearing, first of all?
Well, he was alleged to be wearing, in fact, he was wearing, but what it was alleged to be was a blue stone. It was similar to a blue stone that he also is said to have had embedded or implanted within his armpit. Now, this sounds like, wow, you know, what are you talking about, a blue stone here? You know, how can that have any kind of a power? I mean, the fact of the matter is that Saddam, and this was reported in the San Jose Mercury News, in fact, you put it up there on the Coast site as well,
yes, yes,
that he trained or taught the Iraqi people to believe that because he possessed this stone that he was immortal. And I was extremely excited about the revelation of this stone because it fit the overall profile of who Saddam who Saddam compared himself to.
Maybe he did complain too once in a while.
Right. Saddam believed, of course, that he was the reincarnated biblical king Nebuchadnezzar, and it was easy to predict that he would want to possess such a stone because Nebuchadnezzar had sought this stone as well.
And he even named, Saddam even named a military unit after that king, did he not?
Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely. And in every way, shape, and form, in terms of rebuilding the libraries of ancient Iraq, in terms of attempting to duplicate the monuments and the temples that Nebuchadnezzar had built in 570 BC approximately, Saddam was trying to duplicate this figure and, in fact, outdo what Nebuchadnezzar had done. Now, Nebuchadnezzar had sought the secrets of this blue stone, which goes all the way back to the original Sumerian myths of the Anunnaki and Ea or Enki, whom Zechariah Sitchin upholds as the Anunnaki genetic scientist that came to Earth in search of gold, but also in search of the blue stone that causes illumination.
Mm.
And it appears that Saddam was trying to connect himself with the secrets of the Anunnaki and portraying himself as a person who had this stone. Now, how does this stone make one immortal? Well, one of the things that it's alleged to be able to do is to cleanse and purify the blood so that one can live longer.
Merely by wearing it?
Merely by wearing it, but also by imbibing it as well. Perhaps through some form of a homeopathic remedy whereby pieces or portions of the stone...
You grind it up or something like that?
Right.
Okay.
Exactly. So there's lots of different things that go along with this blue stone thesis, including the idea that it was some form of a monoatomic element, similar to the manna that Lawrence Gardner has talked about. There's incredible myths that go along with it, and I put an article up about it on my website. And in fact, during our interview in June, I had reached out to the Coast audience saying, if you've ever had any kind of an experience, an encounter, a dream of such a blue stone, please write me back. And boy, did the Coast audience deliver. And I've put a report together on my site that describes some of the findings that people had sent to me. And essentially, I was looking at the blue stone as a physical object, as literally some form of exotic matter of which the stargates or portals, the time tunnels leading to other realms were composed. And this was based upon my research into the myths and legends of the Anunnaki, and as well as the stories reported in the Bible concerning Nebuchadnezzar and the possible opening of a stargate in Babylon. And so I'm thinking this is an exotic matter that's actually physical, that has seemingly non-physical properties. And what the Coast audience delivered was validation that, yes, in fact, the blue stone is a centerpiece. It's a gem in a crown, so to speak, that enables travel in that way through gateways, but it's also an internal thing. It's a part of ourself that in the East they call the blue pearl. They call it the blue apple in France. And what it enables is interphasic travel, quantum time travel from within.
Well, what is it? Is it a sapphire? Is there a specific a crystallized name or gemstone name that one would call it?
In the sign and the seal, Graham Hancock points to the blue sapphire as being this blue stone. In fact, it's been claimed that on Moses' first trip up Mount Sinai, that he was given this blue stone of enlightenment. And when he comes back down Sinai and sees the Israelites worshiping the golden calf, and he smashes the tablets, that he's actually saying, "You're not worthy of this blue stone at this time." And in place are substituted the two tablets containing the Ten Commandments. So it's quite possible that it is sapphire. But then it's also been claimed that sapphire, and as it appears in the Bible, is a mistranslation of the word sapur, which means holy blood. So from this we get this image that the blue stone is actually some form of an agent that cleanses and purifies blood. In my research, what I did is simply take the first letter S off the word stone and came up with the notion that the blue stone is actually a blue tone.
Okay, and you know that we had reports that Saddam had put this blue stone necklace around, let's say, cows, and they would shoot bullets at the cows, and nothing would happen to it.
Exactly. And so that's when Saddam, I believe it was a chicken, as a matter of fact, and then after that is when Saddam had this implanted within his armpit.
That's amazing.
Absolutely amazing. And it connects the dots on so much of the Anunnaki mythology and just affirms that this was a person who was very much like Adolf Hitler, who was attempting to reclaim the glory of his civilization's past, but only to twist and to pervert it. Because assuredly, Saddam wasn't going to share this technology with the common Iraqis. He was going to use this technology to keep himself at the top of the tower, so to speak, as the gatekeeper, and prevent any comers from acquiring this stone. And a question that I have is have we, the United States, have we actually reacquired this technology? And was this in part the purpose for our going over there? I mean, mind you, I saw a number the other day by the columnist Jonah Goldberg that he's still wondering, we know it's about more than oil. And what was it that Saddam was hiding that he was willing to forego over $100 billion in oil revenue in order to protect?
And we know now it wasn't weapons of mass destruction.
It definitely was not that. So it points to something else, and we have to go back to the statements and the actions of this figure of who he claimed that he was, a reincarnated biblical king who was here to rebuild the gate of Babylon.
Well, and as we know, William, in his very own country of Iraq, I mean, he had unlimited resources to do his own archaeological digs, excavations. Who knows what he would have come across?
Absolutely.
You know, had he stumbled into the exact spot where the Sumerians lived in Iraq, southern Iraq, maybe he stumbled into some things that he has now tried to protect and has taken. I just find it very ironic, as you well know, I don't believe in coincidences, mm-hmm. that we can't find the guy. You know, we supposedly had him cornered several times, and he seems to like disappear like an invisible man all the time.
Right. As if he's walking through portals of some kind.